Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah. Number 371. Today is our last class before Rosh Hashanah, so I wanted to share something which hopefully will inspire us towards the new year, give us perhaps a project that we can work on. So we're familiar with the very well-known Gemara of Rav Elazar ben Derdaya. Rav Elazar ben Derdaya was somebody who engaged in all sorts of illicit types of behavior. He wasn't a wonderful Jew, and then at some point he realizes that he's living the wrong life, and he's so overwhelmed by his inability, or at least his supposed inability to do tshuva. Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim v'gvos. He sits between the mountains and the hills. Amra harim v'gvos bikshu alai rachman. He says the mountains, the hills, they should request rachman and mercy on me. And they said, no, we can't do that. Amar ein hadavar talei bi. Finally, after going and looking this way and that way, and trying to get every other entity to pray on his behalf, he finally says, ein hadavar talei ela bi. It's ultimately up to me. And hiniach rosha ben rachav v'go'ah b'vchia ad shiyatzasa nishmasa. He puts his head between his legs in the fetal position. He cries and he cries and he cries until the Gemara says, until his neshama leaves. The Gemara concludes by saying, hey, look, you can have a person who is called Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya, because in one moment, b'sha achas, he was able to be kona olamo, yesh kona olamo b'sha achas. He was able in one moment to figure everything out and to do a proper tshuva. Now that doesn't mean we should wait for that one moment, but it shows you the power of one moment. But really, what I think the goal of the story is the Ein HaDavar Talui Elabi. We can't point and we can't look and we try to figure out who else is to blame for our difficulties, our troubles, our not being who we ought to be. Rather, we're taught Ein HaDavar Talui Elabi. We could point fingers, but we have to look in the mirror. So I want to share with you something on that idea. There's a very interesting story with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is sitting with a bunch of his students, and it says, Masabar Zakenim Shayoshim Veshar Shabbi Yeshua. They're all sitting together in the doorway of Rabbi Yeshua, and Vahayu Oskin, and the Asukin, and they're learning. And then Rabbi Akiva asks the following question. Mepnei ma'azacha Yehuda l'malchus. He says, why is it that Yehuda was told, lo yosir shevet me Yehuda umechukik me ben raglov? Why is it that Yehuda was told that he and his lineage will be the Jewish leaders forever? Why Yehuda? Okay, good question. That's the quiz that he presents to his students. So one of the Talmidim say, I'll tell you why, Mipnei Shehoda B'Tamar, with the story of Tamar. Yehuda is caught up having done something which may or may not have been inappropriate, and he admits that it was him. It definitely doesn't appear so good for him, especially after he accused her of wrongdoing. It's a very, very embarrassing scandal, and he is willing to say, Tzadka Mimeni, she is right, I am wrong, and this whoever's presenting this answer is saying, I'll tell you what makes leadership. I'll tell you why Yehuda is the one who gets the mantle of leadership and the staff of leadership, because he's able to admit mistakes. And the ability to, the indignity of admitting things that you have done wrong, that's a core notion of leadership. And therefore, because we're willing to admit what we do wrong, you know, we're not afraid, we as your followers are not afraid of you committing mistakes, because we know if you do, you will correct course and not double down on the mistake. So Rabbi Akiva answers, no, that's not it. Because are we going to give reward for an Avera if there was something inappropriate what he had done with Tamar? So now the fact that he fixed it, that's going to make them the leader. It doesn't really make sense, he says. So another answer. Yehuda was involved when it came to all the brothers in Yosef's sale. He said, don't kill the boy, let's just sell the boy. He said, Ma betza ki na harog. What's the goal? What's the usefulness of killing him? And so he took a principal position. He was the minority position, and he argued against the brothers not to kill Yosef, but instead to sell him. So maybe sometimes you need to go and buck conventional wisdom. You need to be able to take a position that's not so popular. Maybe that's the core of leadership that's important. And that is why Yehuda is chosen. Rabbi Akiva responds to that answer. He says, no. He says, the fact that he was willing to go and save his brother from death, yeah, that's really nice. But if anything, that just accounts, or that just saves him from the fact that originally he was part of the group that was interested in killing him. You know, you can't be called a hero for only committing half a mistake. And so therefore, that can't be the reason that he is going to be considered the leader. So why? Everybody's so curious. What's the reason? So Amr Lahem Lamanu Rabbeinu. Teach us. The reason that he got Malchus, the reason that he got the mantle of leadership was because when they were at the Yamsuf, generations later, everybody said, you know, the Egyptians are on one side, the water is on the other side. They all talked a big game. And they all said, I'm going to go. Kafatz Shivto Shal Yehuda V'yorad B'tchila V'kidesh Moshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tribe of Yehuda went first. We know specifically it was Nachshon Ben Aminadav who went first. He went first into the water before it splits and is willing to seize the day and capture the moment and courageously make that Kiddush Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's why Yehuda is Zocha L'Malchus. Now you're probably wondering, you're saying, hey, it's not a fair quiz, because Rabbi Akiva was asking why Yehuda benefited, not why generations after Yehuda, why his great-grandchild, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, was the one who did something that would merit Yehuda having the mantle of leadership forever. It doesn't seem fair. We were talking about Yehuda, not his children. So I'd like to offer a suggestion possible of what this is all about, and that's taken from the Rosh Hashanah Haftorah. We talk about the birth of Shmuel. Chanukah was Nefkedes on Rosh Hashanah. She was remembered. She was childless. There were two wives, Penina and Chana, and there was a husband, Elkanah. Okay, so we know Chana was a wonderful and a great woman. We learn much of Hilchos Tfila, the laws of Tfila, from Chana. But the story goes, Vayhi ish min hor ha-masayim, tzofim mihar ha-frayim. There was this man, Elkanah, and he had two wives. One of them was Penina, and one of them was Chana. The pasuk tells us very little about him, but it says, V'yala ha-ish ha-hu me'iro miyamim yamima. This man would go from his city from time to time, l'hishtachavos v'lizboach l'ashem tzvos b'shilo, to pray, to bow, to bring karbanos to God in Shiloh. Okay, now something interesting about this man, Elkanah, the Alkut Shimoni writes, via Allah HaIsha, who this man would go up. What does that mean, he would go up? He was considered to be a very respected man in society. Nisala beveso, he rose up in his home. Nisala bechatzero, in his greater area, in his neighborhood. Nisala beiro, he rose up in his city. Nisala bechol Yisrael, he rose up, he was a leader, it seems, or he was a respected man in all of the Jewish people. Bechol iluya lo haya ela mishal atzmo. His rise was only accounted for by his own behavior. He was a self-made man. What did he do? So the Yalkut Shimoni continues. Famous story. Elkanah v'ishto benav v'achiyosav v'chol karavav hayamala imo l'regel. He would go, when it says miyamim liyamima, he would go up to the Mishkan in Shiloh. It was from holiday to holiday. On the regalim, uba'im v'lanin b'rechova shalir. And you know what he would do? Instead of camping outside, he would camp in the center of the city. V'haysa hamadina meragesha. And people would see, hey, what are these people? Where are they going? V'yushoa l'nosan l'heichan telchu. Where are you headed? V'omel l'beis Hashem shavishilo. We are going to the house of Hashem in Shiloh. Shemisham teitzei Torah u'mitzvos. Because that is where Torah and mitzvos are derived from. V'yatem l'melo tavo yimon v'neilach yachad. Why don't you, who are asking me the question, why don't you come with me? Miyari nehem mishagros demos. And immediately people would start to cry. They'd see his passion, his conviction, sleeping in the middle of the street, headed towards Shiloh. Amar lahem neilach yamam. You know what? We're going to come with you. And the Medrash goes and says, V'yamar lahem heinat shloshana haba chamisha batim loshana acheres asara batim ad shayu kulam olam. Five families and then 10 families until everybody was going with Elkanah. He would go one route one year, he would go one route a different year, and all he was doing was himself doing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regal. You turned everybody in that direction just by your very behavior, and you educated them. I will give you the merit of having this child who will do the same thing. Now, what's really fascinating is, what did he do? He just did what he did. He did his behavior himself, and everybody followed. It might be true that, yes, it wasn't Yehuda who was the reason for the merit. It was his great-great-grandchild. But where did his great-great-grandchild get it from? This idea of just jumping in and doing it himself. Perhaps Probably. He got it from Aminadav, his father, who got it from Ram, who got it from Chetzer, and who got it from Peretz, because it is the best educational style that exists. Gandhi, there's some story with Gandhi where some kid says, some mother says to Gandhi, I need you to tell my kid not to eat any more sugar. And he says, come back to me in 2 weeks. The mother's very frustrated. Why do I have to come back in 2 weeks? And finally, Gandhi says to the kid, stop eating sugar after 2 weeks. Okay? She says, why didn't you tell him that 2 weeks ago? He says, because at that point, I was still eating sugar. We have to learn from Elkanah. We have to learn from Yehuda and his grandchildren that leadership is about doing things by example. It's not about talking the talk. It's about walking the walk. And if we do that, hopefully not only our children, but our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, not only us, but our neighborhoods, our city, the wider circles that are around us will be influenced by that. Have a ksivah, chesimah tova, and a wonderful, wonderful year.